Good morning, folks. You're listening to Right Side Up with your host, Bill Huff and Mike Taglavia. We're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. You were dealing with mud again this morning. What's the deal?
Well, we've got some spots on the road because of shade issues that the frost is being persistent. And, we haven't had terribly warm weather, and we haven't had enough sun. So it's frustrating.
And it's everybody, frustrating. When we start getting, the snow's gone, it starts getting warm, sugaring's all done, yeah. Everybody's thinking summer. But
right.
You know what? It's not. It's still spring.
No. We're going to get, there's almost a guarantee, at least one snowstorm, no matter how small, in May.
Yep.
Okay?
It's coming.
So we're not done. And because it's mud season and we're, the towns we live in have a lot of gravel roads, the roads are still going to be bumpy, and most people realize that. There are some who, as soon as the snow's gone, they expect everything to be smooth sailing.
Does the town even have a paved road?
I think,
of numbered highways that are state highways, but
yeah,
the,
I think we have maybe,
I guess there is the
half
town,
or three quarters of a
town,
mile
town center.
Of,
yeah, yeah. that's about it. There, yeah. We're definitely in the middle of spring. Mud season's still here in places.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, though, the ice went out of Moosehead Lake like yesterday, day before. Man, that means the fish are biting, Mike.
Bill's going fishing soon.
Oh, it's not going to be long now. Yeah. Springtime fishing for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I ran into another listener. Just
that's great.
Wife and I were out Saturday night. Met a gentleman from Norwich. Says he listens quite often. It's always good to talk to somebody listening
to
the show.
Awesome! Thank you very much to all of our listeners.
Yep. As last week, Mike, I guess we just finished up the last show, and I got to thinking, I had just about another week to go to get to payday. And my checkbook was down to the point where it was just over $100. Even my fridge was starting to look a little bare.
Yeah.
I've already dipped into savings a couple of times already this year.
I wonder how many of our listeners are in the same spot.
Well, that money in the savings account was supposed to go to pay taxes in the fall. It's a big bill, so you save up for it, you plan ahead for
right.
it. Now, the brunt of that money's gone now. And I think my credit card balances are higher now than they've probably been in at least the last 25 years.
I know for a fact you're not alone there.
Yep. Well, that's what I got to thinking. You know what? I bet I'm not alone. I bet there's a lot of people in the same boat. A lot of people are hurting these days. And I think I'm probably as good off or maybe better than the average Vermonter. So, yeah. You stop and think, my word. How is this going to improve? And then you get thinking about all the things that we talk about. I think this may have come out after our last show, or maybe I mentioned it on the last show. The Vermont tax commissioner actually made the comment that this year Vermonters will pay over $490 million in new taxes.
And apparently the supermajority doesn't give a damn.
New taxes.
Yeah.
That's in addition to what we've been paying all along.
Bleed us even more.
Well, and the legislature's not done. They're still in session. They're still dreaming stuff
up. They're still passing bills
that are going to cost us more money.
Who are they listening to? Because they're not listening to the average Vermonter.
Well, people in this state are just buried between the taxes, inflation, increased fees and whatnot. It's time people get real.
It is.
I'll put it in their vernacular. It's not sustainable, Mike.
You're absolutely correct.
We can't continue to do this.
It's not sustainable. And I'm glad you brought it up in their language. The only way it's sustainable is, and I believe this, I've told people I've had conversations with, it's about replacing the Vermonters of, first, second, third, fourth generation Vermonters with new higher tax bracket new residents. That's really shameful.
Well, Senator McDonald, Senator McDonald actually thought that was a good idea. Hey, if you can't pay your taxes, then move. Get the hell out of here. And because there are people that want to move in that have the money to pay.
Yeah. And I have a friend from the Bennington area who said someone told her the same thing. And it's disgusting that's the thought and that's the mindset.
Well, I know a lot of people that have left. They've packed up and moved.
Yeah.
I talk to people every day that they're making that difficult choice. You know, they're trying to figure out, can we even afford to live in Vermont anymore, or are we going to have to move?
And it's so sad. I talk to people. I've talked to, I think, three just this past week who I tried to implore, please stand and fight. Don't pack up and leave. They win when you do that.
Well, but, you know, it's a financial choice. You know,
yeah.
you reach a point
I know.
Where you cannot not afford it.
You know, we're not taking care of our veterans. We're taxing their retirement income. People, we should be bending over backwards to say thank you for your service and keep them, because they will spend their retirement money here.
I had that conversation.
It will not be a loss.
Saturday. I talked right. with, there were three people there. I was there to talk to a potential candidate. And, you know, I was telling them the same thing. We're one of four states in the country that still taxes veterans' pensions.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. You get the ones who are Vermont residents leave when they retire because they want to keep more of their retirement money. And I'm sure people who are retiring with thinking about coming to another state think Vermont would be great, except for the fact that their taxation is outrageous.
Well, and it's crazy because the brunt of what we're taxing and spending is not on things that Vermonters would benefit from.
And it's not what the original idea of government is for.
Yeah.
It's all for these social programs that are just bleeding us dry.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. They do it every year. Right here in Thetford, I talk about Thetford all the time, but the select board sent out a listserv post here the other day and wanted to know, you know, what's everybody's priorities for next year. It's like, you know, what program do we want to spend money on next year? And I'm thinking to myself, my word, do you even understand what the role of government is? It's not to dream up crap to do and spend money on. There are certain functions.
They have a different idea of what government is for.
You know, you're working on the roads in Washington. Yeah. That's one of them.
Safety.
You maintain the roads.
Safety.
Safety. You know, you plan for or pay for a police department or make a contract with the sheriff's department or something, so residents in your town have somebody to call. You fix the roads, you know.
And that's part of safety also. I mean, mom and dad need to get to work. Mom and dad, somebody needs to get to the hospital. Law enforcement needs safe roads to get to you if they need them. EMS needs safe roads to get to you if you need them. So, you know, there's a very limited role for government. But that's what you and I believe, and so many more people believe. Unfortunately, like you said, the Thetford government doesn't think that that's should be the priority.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me. I know it's frustrating for a number of people. And what it's led to is this taxation that's just out of control, while at the same time we're ignoring some of the things that we need to be looking at, like our infrastructure. And that was one of the
Absolutely.
Things I wanted to touch on today, because it's part of the Get Real.
Yes.
It's T's transportation, and as a Republican, this is one of the things that we want to focus on from now on, is something that government should be doing. They should
yes.
care for our roads, our bridges.
It's the major role, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so I just wanted to go down through it. You know, here's a few stats about where Vermont stands with its infrastructure. When it comes to roads, we've got 2,856 bridges, 2,856 bridges in the state. 1,250 of them are in need of repair. So that's, just about half, not quite half, need some kind of repair. 75 are classified as structurally deficient.
That's reassuring, isn't it?
Well, and this means that one of the key elements is in poor or worse condition. We got 75 bridges structurally deficient. And if you look, you know, you start doing a little bit of research here, A lot of those bridges are on the interstates, but not all of them, the, right. the ones that are structurally deficient. So we've got millions of people every week, every month, that are going across these bridges.
It's interesting you brought that up, because I was thinking, how many of our listeners just now, while you're reading that, drove across a bridge
and said,
oh, crap. Yeah. I wonder if that one, that's one of them.
On one of, that's on the list.
Yeah.
Well, there is a list out there. But I tell you, it's pretty interesting, because most of the bridges in this state were built in the 60s. So
Well, that goes to... going to get off subject a little bit, but it goes to the quality of construction then versus now, right?
Well, interestingly enough, the oldest bridge in the state, and I thought this was interesting because they listed the covered bridge out of Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I know the river all the way up to the banks of Vermont are owned by New Hampshire. So I thought it was interesting that they were listing that covered bridge out of Windsor that goes over to New Hampshire as a Vermont bridge. I'm not sure that that's accurate.
Really? The whole length of the...
Oh, the whole width.
Border?
Yes. New Hampshire owns all the way up to the high water mark or average, mean, whatever.
I did not know that. I thought it was straight down the middle of the channel.
No. New Hampshire owns all the way up to the western side of the Connecticut River.
Well, so Vermont
the bridges are kind of shared, but I thought right. New Hampshire owned them, but their construction and upkeep I thought was kind of a shared deal because, you know, we both use them.
Right.
But anyway, I thought it was interesting. The covered bridge down in Windsor dates back to 1866. Yeah. But there are some bridges that I know they're totally within the confines of the state of Vermont. There's one that dates back to original construction 1911, another one that was 1934. Yeah, some of these bridges are in need of some upkeep.
Yeah,
there was another stat there that the average age of Vermont's bridges is 59 years old. So that's, 60 years ago, that's in the 60s. That's why I say most of the bridges scanning down through the stats, most of these bridges were built in the 60s. And I don't know, you're maybe too young, but the 60s were kind of boom years. We, financially, economically, there was a lot going on. So, we built a lot, probably upgraded a lot of infrastructure at the time.
I don't remember when the Eisenhower Interstate System was started. It was started in the late 50s, early 60s,
in
correct?
That same decade or two. Right. Oh, okay. I think so. Absolutely. So, yeah, and anyway, so we're almost 60 years old on average, bridges in the state of Vermont, but nationally, only 44. So we're a third, 33% older on average than the rest of the whole United States. We're obviously behind the eight ball. 75 right. bridges structurally deficient.
But there's no legislation that I've heard come up that wants to address this, do they?
Well, they put money into it every year, but it's not nearly enough. We'd rather spend millions of dollars on EV subsidies.
Well, my point being,
where our transportation dollars are being spent, not on the infrastructure, not fixing a deficient bridge.
Well, the reason I asked that was because, in July we had the flood, the 100-year flood. So one would think that, okay, we had this issue. We need to prioritize our infrastructure, ditches, bridges, stuff like that, instead of new programs. That's common sense to me.
Should have been a wake-up call.
Absolutely, it should have been.
Yeah.
I drive down the roads, like you said, I work on the roads, and I'm new at this, but you see these culverts and these ditches that definitely need work, because if we have one this summer, guess what's going to happen? It just very well might be worse.
Well, it drives me crazy when I run around town and the trees come down and it's barely cut out of the travel lane. It's sitting in the ditch. What's going to happen the next time we get a large rainstorm?
It's going to stop up a culvert. That's what it's going to do.
It's going to take out the road. And guess what? They're going to blame it on climate change. More to come. We're going to be right back. More Right Side Up. We're back, right side up. Mike and I have been talking about infrastructure here this morning, and the idea that we're getting taxed to death, but our tax dollars aren't going to fill one of the basic tenets of government. You know, maintaining our bridges and roads and that sort of thing. We're spending the money elsewhere. You know, we are going to now have the most robust child care bill in the entire country when this thing is fully implemented. It was actually implemented in stages. So we just hit another milestone. I think it was last month, or might have been this month. And now a family of four making somewhere around $125,000 a year can get subsidies to help with child care. But I think it's by the end of the year that third stage kicks in. We're looking at a family of four making upwards of $179,000 are going to get a subsidy.
That's, here again, money that needs to go to other programs that are, like you said, should be the main charge of government.
If you're making $180,000 a year, you don't need a subsidy to send your kid to child care.
Not at all.
Not when it's... It's the people that are making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year that are paying the taxes to pay.
Yeah.
You talk about regressive. You know, we got Democrats and progressives in the legislature up here that control it, and they're all about progressive tax structures, right? Well, what are they thinking? This is insane.
I know what they're thinking. They're hoping people, the average Vermonter, isn't paying attention.
Well, it's get real. It's time Vermonters started paying attention to some of this stuff, because all the time we're doing that and we've got the subsidies, again, you can make upwards of around $100,000 and get a subsidy to buy an EV. But it's the people that are making, you know, the mean income in this state is, I think it went up a little bit, but it's $68,000, $69,000. Okay. Yeah. And that's not income per person, per taxpayer. I think that's per household. So we're talking probably a husband and a wife, maybe a kid or something, but it's a family.
Yeah.
And the mean income is less than $70,000, but you can make $90,000 and get a subsidy on a car. And meanwhile, we've got 79 bridges that are structurally deficient.
Make it make sense, because make sense to me.
Half the bridges in the state are in need of some kind of repair.
Yeah.
The existing schools that we have now, everybody understands that there's a $6 billion bill out there waiting to be collected to fix the school infrastructure that we have right now. $6 billion over the next decade. They know that that's what it's going to take just to maintain that school system that we have now. And yet we'll spend money on anything and everything except for where it needs to go. One of those basic tenets of running government. It's not everything to everybody. There's a handful of things you do.
No.
You provide the infrastructure. You keep people safe. You know, if you want to run a dump, recycle center, then that's part of it. But my word.
No, it's got it. Government has reached its tentacles into too many parts, too many aspects of our lives.
It needs to be streamlined. Absolutely.
It needs to be streamlined and made much more efficient. More efficient.
Well, how are you going to do that? What are you going to cut? Just look to New Hampshire.
Right. There are plenty of examples.
Two or three times the people, and on a per capita basis, they do it for a little over half. The money that we do.
We covered numerous.
Something's wrong.
Education. Mississippi is 46th in spending, but they're doing better with
education.
Low-income students.
Yeah.
So there are examples out there that we can use. There are people we can call in other states to say, hey, how do we do this? You guys are apparently doing it right.
Oh, yeah. There's a way to do it, but our legislature right now does not want to talk about.
Oh, they know better.
Streamlining. Yeah, it's all about spending. I've said that they're still drunk spending that COVID money. But I want to continue with this infrastructure theme that we started here, that first segment. 2023, the American Society of Civil Engineers, they do an annual assessment of our infrastructure, airports, bridges, dams, that sort of thing. And so this was from the 2023 report card for Vermont's infrastructure. The best that we did anywhere was a B minus, and I guess that's probably an average of our bridges. So we've got some that are okay, but we got some that really need work. But the average was a B minus. I know that we've got a lot of bridges that are classified as C and D and are in need of a lot of attention. But the worst was D minus for our wastewater treatment systems.
Well, that's not good. If we, like you said,
we've been talking about this for weeks.
If we're so concerned about the environment, then why is that not a top priority? We should be hearing about this in broadcast news, on the internet, all over, and we're not hearing about it.
People should be up in arms.
Yeah.
You're right. Millions of gallons of partially raw treated sewage into Lake Champlain every year? Yeah. No.
No.
In Vermont? No, that's crazy. So I did hear, I think it was probably by the time this show airs, it might have been 2 weeks ago, we got $30 million from the feds to upgrade sewage treatment plants. Awesome. That's great. Rutland's one of the worst offenders. They're going to get $7 million out of that $30 million pot. You know what they're going to do? You know how far $7 million goes?
I don't know.
They're going to put valves on a couple of pipes so that when the water in Otter Creek rises, it doesn't back up into the facility.
Yeah.
And they're going to, underneath one of their athletic fields, they're going to put in a million-gallon holding tank. And that's it.
That's going to soak up $7 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it's cost of construction these days.
Right.
But that's not going to fix.
No. No, that's not going to help treat the water.
Well, it's going to help, but it's not going to fix their problem. $30 million is a drop in the bucket.
Yep.
I'm glad that we've got it. And I think the money was divided up among five, six different sewage treatment plants that ran all the way up towards Grand Isle, St. Albans, and down through down towards Addison County there somewhere. So there's a number of them, and they're all in bad shape. They all need to be larger.
Right.
They all need to be renovated.
Well, they even if we're looking to try to expand our population, we need to be thinking about expanding and renovating sewage treatments anyway. Why not increase capacity in anticipation of increased population,
good,
right?
Good point. Yeah. Yeah. If we're talking, we're in
that?
A housing crisis. We need to extract people. Well, how are you going to do it? You know, anybody thinking ahead.
Prioritize your spending, but they won't do that. Well, they have, but not for what you and I are talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'd be planning ahead and you'd be building sewage treatment plants now that, you know, were a quarter of the capacity and with the future in mind.
Yeah.
But oh, no, we can't even keep up with what we got because we're not prioritizing spending. You're absolutely right. And this was an interesting one, too. They looked at dams. So Vermont has 1,115 dams used for recreation, flood control, hydropower. And 6% of those dams are what they consider high hazard. And what they mean by high hazard, that means that if they were to fail, people would die.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes sense. They're high hazard.
Downstream from this dam, there's a lot of folks. Well, that's not an issue in itself as long as the dam continues to be there and operate like
right.
It's supposed to. Now, the problem is when you combine a high hazard dam with a dam that's also in poor condition, now you get a problem. Vermont's got nine dams that are in that qualify for both. They're high hazard and they're in poor condition, nine of them. Yeah.
That's not good.
And the report card defines poor condition as below standard with many elements approaching the end of their service life.
Many elements.
Yeah. Infrastructure in poor condition carries a strong risk of failure. This is in the civil engineer's vocabulary.
So we have numerous boxes checked off that are they're flashing red lights at us. Fix this before there's a disaster. And we just had a disaster that we got a lot of FEMA, many towns got a lot of FEMA money for just last July. We're coming up on the anniversary of that. And yet, like you said, we're increasing the subsidy for people who do not need the subsidy for childcare. What are we doing? We're buying school meals for kids whose parents don't need the kids to have their meals
no income
provided. No worries about income.
Nope.
And that like
the,
you said.
Yeah, there's no limit. That cost us $30 million. Came right out of the education fund.
Okay, see, take that $30 million and put it back into the infrastructure. How many more sewage treatment plants do you improve with that?
Yeah.
This is common sense. Why is it not common sense in Montpelier under the Golden Dome? That's my question.
So I think I'm starting to put two and two together. If memory serves me correctly, and at my age, sometimes
it
doesn't.
In Common Core math, two and two doesn't equal four, Bill. So you just got to remember that.
So anyway, I think in the last couple of weeks, there's been some news articles about a particular dam, and I'm thinking that it was the big one in Waterbury, because that, I think that would certainly be considered one of the high hazard risk.
There's waters. A lot. There's
And I think population that might be center. One of the, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Makes sense.
Well, if that's the one they were talking about, they weren't talking about fixing it. I think the proposal was just to get rid of it.
I don't understand.
Well, they can't afford it, Mike. So they're just going to get rid of it. Of course, that dam is flood control. It's recreation. There's a state campground there.
So,
but that's the mentality. Remember, this was 6-8 months ago. We were talking about airports.
Yeah.
And there was the one, oh God, where was it? Up towards St. J?
St. Johnsbury. They're talking about selling it, and it was something that the state could use to generate money.
Yeah, because they couldn't afford the upkeep. So we're selling this stuff off because we're not keeping it up.
Well, respect to dams, the left doesn't like dams because the natural environment has been changed because of the dam. Well, my question to all the people who don't like dams, do you live in an area or do you know someone who lives in an area that gets their electricity generated by a hydroelectric plant because of a dam? Now, are you going to, if you have a family member or a friend, are you going to tell them, well, sorry about your luck, you're not going to have electricity? So here again, how many times have we talked about the law of unintended consequences? Right?
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, look at out west. How many dams provide electricity for millions of people? What are you going to do? Get rid of them? What are you going to tell all those millions of people?
I think the one
relocate?
If I remember right, the one in Waterbury, they weren't going to try to fix it, replace it. Nope. Just get rid of it. And that way, you know, it's not a problem. But yeah, there's flood control, there's recreation. I don't know if there's a generation facility there as well or not, but same with the airport. You know, we're looking, if we were ever looking to grow our economy and put people back to work and make this a place to live, then you ought to be building those airports up so that business can use that. I mean, that's one of the big reasons that you have regional airports.
Increase
is for
the capacity.
Business.
Right. Yes.
But we're just going to sell it off because we can't afford that. We're spending our money elsewhere.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think, and I've said this to numerous people, the idea behind what the supermajority is doing and the left in general with this beautiful Green Mountain State is this is going to be a resort, a second home resort for high income people. That's what it's going to be. And the only industry is going to be mostly service industry to deal with whatever their needs are. That's, you know, I mean, dealing with the needs of gated communities, okay? So there's going to be plenty of services, and that's going to be about all they're going to be requiring.
Well, it would certainly be a different Vermont than what it is now.
Well,
and for a good part of the population, it wouldn't resemble anything like they grew up.
No, and we talked about it. The heritage of Vermont gets completely dissolved.
Oh,
to me, that's
absolutely
a non-starter.
Completely changed the face of what Vermont is, what it means. And at the root, Mike, that's why people come to Vermont, is they want to experience what Vermont is.
Yes.
And if we take that away, you know, why bother? You can ski out west. You don't have to come to Vermont.
Yeah.
You can ski out west. Yeah. Going to be right back. More Right Side Up.
Saskatoon. You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. We're going to switch gears here in a second, but I just want to remind our listeners, if you cannot find or listen to us on Saturday morning or Tuesday morning, then go to WNTK.com, scroll across the top, click on podcast, find Right Side Up, and you'll have a number of our shows that you can listen to any time of the day or night. You can share the shows with friends who might be interested. We'd love that. And you can get us at rightsideupradio@gmail.com. Get us a, send us a comment. Let us know what you think. We're going to switch gears a little bit here to some federal news that's still going to have an effect in Vermont, the Biden's Title IX rewrite. And this article I'm going to be reading to you from is from Town Hall, dated April 19, 2024, Madeline Lessman. The Biden administration will stop at nothing to erase women and girls in the name of inclusion for individuals who believe they are transgender. On Friday, the Biden administration released new rules to protect LGBTQ plus individuals under the federal civil rights legislation Title IX. Title IX went into effect in 1972 to protect sex discrimination in educational programs that receive federal funding. Going forward, the basis of sex is now encompasses the concept of gender identity.
Yeah, do you know what Title IX did for women in sports and stuff?
Well, up until this year or a couple of years ago,
it was huge.
It was great. It was excellent. Now what it does is it opens up, it relegates women to third class citizenship. Okay? They're just
in the name of inclusion.
In the name of inclusion, it just totally wipes out all of biological women's rights. It opens up women and young girls to all kinds of dangers. Like you said, in the name of inclusion, it's going to wind up hurting more women than it helps.
Well, it already has.
It already has. I mean, there's news just in the past couple of days that is more proof that this is nonsense. This is a huge step in the wrong direction. Quote, these regulations make it crystal clear that everyone can access schools that are safe, welcoming, and that respect their rights. Miguel Cardona, Biden's education secretary, said in a call with reporters from the New York Times on Thursday. I would disagree with him, but okay. In a video posted to X, Cardona claimed that these new rules built upon the legacy of Title IX. I don't see exactly how.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. Quote, this final regulation strengthens and restores vital protections against sex discrimination, including sexual harassment. It also protects students against discrimination based on pregnancy or related conditions, sexual orientation, and gender identity, he said in the video. I don't see how, because we've seen numerous articles about how young women, young girls, teenage girls, and younger have been sexually assaulted and assaulted in general by people who identify as the opposite sex.
I can't think of any other place where we've created such a law so that
protected class.
Well, we elevate, you know, one sector or one piece, but at the expense of somebody else, and call that equity.
It's creating a special class. A protected class.
Well, and you know what? A separate class, I think that's the answer. Because this stuff is not the answer that I'd like, but as a compromise, I think it's the answer. It's just have their own league.
Yeah, I agree with
you. So if they're a trans, there's a trans league, and I don't care if you're a man in a woman's body, woman in a man's body, you know, whatever, they can all compete together.
Yeah. No,
have at it. I really don't care.
My message to parents and grandparents is make sure your daughters and granddaughters know how to protect themselves, because they're going to need to. That's just the cold, hard reality of today.
Yeah.
For over 50 years, Title IX has opened doors for girls and women. Well, I think it just slammed doors closed.
Well, on the majority here again, we're protecting the 1% at the expense of the 99% in the name of equality.
The world has gone upside down. Let's see. In addition, Jennifer Klein, the director of the White House Gender Policy Council, told the Times that the rules were designed to strike a balance, claiming they would, quote, restore and strengthen vital protections that were weakened by the prior administration. What about the
protections? Oh, my God, Trump did it. It's all Trump's fault.
Orange
right?
man bad. While reaffirming our longstanding commitment to fundamental fairness, equality under the law, ladies and gentlemen, equality under the law, not equity. Predictably, advocates for women and girls came forward against Biden's egregious rewrite of Title IX. Quote, extending Title IX to cover gender identity means that schools will no longer have discretion over whether or how to provide certain services and activities to students on the basis of self-declared gender identity. Title IX was written in 1972 when sex meant male and female. I think it still does. And no amount of interpretive jujitsu permits a cabinet agency to rewrite the plain language of the law. Unquote. Nicole Neely, president of Parents Defending Education, told Town Hall. Quote, efforts to do so have failed repeatedly in Congress for one simple reason. Such an expansion of law is deeply unpopular, with opposition to these changes spanning both political and racial lines. This betrayal of students will not soon be forgotten by American parents. I hope not. And we should forward to suing, excuse me, we look forward to suing the administration over this policy soon, unquote.
Yeah, I think the pendulum has started to swing. You know, the majority, I think, now realizes that this is not equity. It's not equal. It's nothing. This is crazy.
And on a side note, I think I brought it up one or two shows prior, but I cannot remember. In England, in the UK, they have ceased with the administration of the cross-sex hormones and drugs because of the harms or potential harms to the kids.
Yeah, actually, I think it's the majority of Europe now.
Well, yes, and apparently France just went along with that too. So we are learning our lesson far too late, in my opinion.
You know, if there are people that think that what you've just described here, these additions or changes to Title IX are appropriate, then I would just ask them to take it to the, you know, to the conclusion that, and you might call it extreme, but I think it's the eventual conclusion. And what I'm talking about is a girls, women's team, whether it be basketball, volleyball, or whatever, that is entirely comprised of trans men.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Well, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
You chuckle about it, but no.
That's
what I say. It, you know, some people, oh, no, that's never going to happen. Well, of course it can.
How many years
under
ago?
Title IX, under these new rules,
right?
Eventually that is what's going to happen. And if that's not okay then it's not okay now.
You're right. 20 years ago, Bill, if I had brought this stuff up to you, you would have told me I was smoking that 60% THC marijuana were talking about a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. I just want to go another side note. I saw on X, this was a video from X, five teenage girls who were on, I guess it was a track and field team, who would rather forfeit than compete against a transgender student. To me, that's courage. This is the way it gets stopped. The students from, what was it, Mid Vermont Academy,
Christian Academy.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They forfeited. Why? For their own safety. Because I've brought to you numerous articles where the female students, the biological female students, did I say something wrong, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'll say it again.
We said
biological
last,
female.
Last week, there was a college student flunked her class because she used that term.
I saw something else. There was a young man who got, what the heck? Did he get a an F or something. He used biological female in a homework assignment and got in trouble for it. Our world is upside down, and we need more students who are willing to say, no, I'm not going to subject myself to the dangers of this or the indecency of it. You can go play on your own.
What are you supposed to say? You know, we identify the new woman as trans. That's okay, but we can't. How do you differentiate between that and, if I can't say biological woman, am I supposed to say?
I guess the left believes that's offensive. It's not offensive. It's a fact. It's a fact. If your facts don't care about your feelings, that was from another conservative commentator, so I can't take credit. But he's right. Facts don't care. Like Mother Nature doesn't care if your culvert's plugged up. It's going to ruin it. Right? Okay. I want to get just a little bit more. Quote, it's 2024 and the Biden administration doesn't believe there is a difference between biological females and biological males. They believe extending the definition of sex in Title IX to include gender identity is, quote, inclusive.
Wait a minute. Back up. Back the train up. What you just said was there's no difference between a biological male and a biological female?
No, that's what I don't. The Biden administration doesn't believe there's a difference.
Well, yeah.
I believe this.
Well, no. So under the new Title IX rules, I don't even have to be trans anymore? I can just compete in a women's sport if I want to?
Like I said, the women's don't. They're not second class. They're third.
Oh, for crying,
they don't count at all.
You know, so now there's no difference between a biological man and a biological woman. Now they're all treated the same under Title IX. You might as well burn Title IX.
Well, that's what they've done figuratively.
Well, if that's true, if that's what you just read, Mike, is part of Title IX, they have.
Yeah,
they've just destroyed it.
Yeah. And my question to you is, if you're a Vermont resident and you're registered to vote, Why would you vote Democrat? Why? I mean, do you want to be disrespected in a women's locker room or a women's bathroom? Because we've seen it happen. It's a fact. It's not some conspiracy theory. Women are to be, and girls are to be revered. Without them, we do not repopulate our society. And this is the disrespect we see. It's insane.
I'm still trying to come up with one reason why I'd vote for a Democrat, Mike.
Well, I hope.
There's got to be at least one reason.
One of the reasons we wanted to do this was to keep people apprised of what's going on. Because maybe if they're driving in their car to work, to pay their taxes, to raise their family, to pay their mortgage, maybe we're helping keep them informed so they know what's going on. That's why I do this. That's why I love doing this. And hopefully it makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike, on that one. Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really talk about it, because I mean, if you try to talk about some of this stuff in public, you're going to be shunned. You're going to be rejected or whatnot, or whatever, you know, or worse. But, that's going to wrap things up here pretty quick for this week. There'll be more next week, of course. But we just wanted to end on a high note here, on a positive note. And like Mike said, we try to keep people apprised of what's going on in the legislature, all of the important work that they do in Montpelier on our behalf.
But don't shoot the messenger. We're just telling you what's going on.
You should know now that the House on Friday passed S-187, and that allows students to self-apply sunscreen at school without a health care provider note. Thank goodness, Mike. Stay safe.
I feel so much better.
Listen to the right side up.